When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, howdy there, internet people. It's Beau again. So today we are going to talk about a term that most people are familiar with. You've probably heard it at least once, but most people are also only familiar with it in one particular context. And the same process gets used in a whole lot of other contexts in different ways to kind of shift things and impact the way Americans look at different situations in foreign policy. So we're going to talk about this term in the way it's normally used, and then the other ways it gets used, in hopes of maybe shedding some light on some recent surprising events when it comes to foreign policy. Manufacturing consent. Most people, when they hear this term, they think of manufacturing consent for a war, because that's normally when people use the term. If you were alive in the late 80s, early 90s, you saw this. You saw it firsthand. This is how we wound up with trading cards. They were like baseball cards, but they had weapon systems and generals on them in gas stations. Yellow ribbons everywhere. So we're going to talk about how it normally gets used, how that term normally gets used, and that process first. Okay, so the United States realizes that it needs something that the Kingdom of Denovia has. Okay, but they can't just come out and say, hey, foreign policy is all about power. So we need to invade or realign the Kingdom of Denovia. They can't do it that way. They need the consent of the people at home. But they have made the determination that the Kingdom of Denovia, well, they need some democracy and some extraction contracts. So what happens? Government agencies put together bulletins, press releases, all the time. They go out all the time. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of them dealing with the Kingdom of Denovia. And, well, they're super specific. These aren't normal little bulletins or press releases. They have everything that a news team needs to put together a segment. Sometimes they even include media. So those news teams that are often overworked, well, they throw that segment together. And when there's a slow news day, well, that segment goes out. And the American people are told about the good, hardworking, industrious people of Denovia. Over time, people become more interested. So we find a little bit about the king out. The king of Denovia, he's not a good guy. He's done some really, really bad things. And this is the situation that the good, hardworking, industrious people of Denovia find themselves in. Public opinion shifts again. Not just are they now interested, well, now those poor people. And somewhere along the line, as this process continues, it switches from those poor people to we have to help. At this point, you have senators and politicians come out. I have always supported the good, hardworking, industrious people of Denovia. We need to help them. In fact, I have a plan to help them. Just stick with me. And that is when civilian advisors show up in Denovia, meeting with the Denovian Liberation Organization. And those guys are like, hey, I believe in your cause, whatever it is. Here's some money. Get yourself some weapons, some berets, Ray-Bans, whatever it is you need. And that's where it starts. And then eventually special forces, then special operations, then there's an inciting incident, and then democracy arrives via aircraft carrier MB-52. Manufacturing consent for a war. That's how it happens. And that's how the term gets used all the time. But the same thing can occur in other ways. The same thing can occur for things that aren't war. Let's say the United States decides it would be really great to have a military base in, I don't know, on the coast of East Africa. Okay? There's a famine there. We need to go there and help. We need to help these people. So the same thing occurs. The bulletins go out. The story goes out about the famine. Everybody gets interested. We need to help. All of a sudden, the military is showing up to help. Hey, you know what? There's warlords interfering with us distributing the food. We need to put a military base here. Poof. Consent is manufactured. And it can be used for simpler things, things that have nothing to do with the military as well. It can be used anytime there needs to be a shift in public opinion when it comes to foreign policy, even if it's just like providing aid for infrastructure investment because the U.S. needs a port in this region. It can be that simple. So, we're familiar with this term. Most people have heard it. A lot of people have seen it. You now understand it can be used in other ways. The next little piece of this puzzle. Does anybody watching this believe that the United States is incredibly vigilant when it comes to the behavior of our allies in conflict zones? When it comes to, you know, making sure they follow the laws of armed conflict, or, you know, they don't get rights violations or anything like that? I mean, everybody knows the U.S. is very much on guard for this, right? This behavior is not accepted in our allies. This pause is for everybody to stop laughing. Nobody really believes that because it's not true. The most advanced, all-encompassing intelligence network the world has ever known, all of a sudden, when it comes to our allies engaging in less than ideal behavior in a conflict zone, they turn into me in a grocery store when I see a mom stick baby formula into her bag. I got something in my eye. They don't pay attention to it. And that's the norm. That's the status quo. A deviation from the norm is always worth paying attention to. So, hypothetically speaking, if the United States is allied with the Kingdom of Denovia, and all of a sudden they come out and say, hey, one of their units, the Denovian Home Guard, they've been involved in some really, really bad things. And we truly care about this. It's something to watch. It's a big deal. It's a deviation from the norm. You can't assign motive yet. You don't know why, but you know that it's worth paying attention to. If you want to know why, you have to look at all of the other pieces, all of the other things that have occurred. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Kingdom of Denovia had U.S. advisors show up, I don't know, like 6 months ago, and say, hey, King, buddy, pal, I believe in your cause, whatever it is, but you need to listen to your court. You need to listen to your court of advisors because they're telling you not to launch a ground offensive into this province that you have issues with. They're telling you not to do that. You should follow their advice. And the king ignores the U.S. advice as well. Then it causes a humanitarian issue. Then there's a lot of coverage of this. And the coverage is being linked to the United States. That doesn't look good. Now, the U.S., they don't want to sever the relationship with the Kingdom of Denovia. They've been friends a long time. And by friends, countries don't have friends, they have interests. See, the Kingdom of Denovia, they're a regional power. there are three regional powers. There's the Kingdom of Denovia, Bladia Blabia, and Uran. Uran is adversarial. The other two are aligned with the U.S. The U.S. does not want to upset that balance of power. Therefore, it doesn't actually want to sever the relationship with the Kingdom of Denovia. So, it starts to apply pressure to the king. Talk to him about different things and say, hey, look, things aren't going so well. You got to alter course here. But the king's just intractable. He is set on his course. And he decides not just did he do that first big offensive, he wants to go into another city, let's call it Afar. And the U.S. is really opposed to that because it's going to increase the humanitarian situation. It's going to make that problem worse. And the U.S. has tried a bunch of ways to apply pressure. Meanwhile, you have U.S. senators back home, and they're saying, we need to cut offensive military aid to the Kingdom of Denovia. Look at what they're doing. Now, foreign policy people, they don't care. It's about power, not about any of that other stuff. You know, those moral arguments, those ethical arguments, I mean, that's all fine and good, and that's how the world should work, but we're playing Masters of the Universe games right now. So, they don't want to cut offensive military aid because they want to keep that relationship intact. At the same time, it's an election year. Something's got to be done. And the situation is getting out of hand in a whole bunch of different ways, which might expand the conflict beyond the Kingdom of Denovia and draw the United States in. And the U.S. doesn't want to do that. Why? Because it's not in the interest of power. So, what might they do? The Secretary of State may come out and be like, hey, the Denovian Home Guard, they did these really, really, really bad things. We're not going to allow our aid to go to them. And just like all of the other forms of manufacturing consent, the bulletins go out. All of the incidents that are linked to that one specific unit, because all of a sudden the U.S. intelligence community got that thing, whatever it was, out of their eye, but they can only see this one unit. So they pull it all out. They have all of that information ready. And it's packaged for the press. All of the incidents. Or maybe it's just a list and they hope the media does it on their own. But either way, you have the unit and you have the list. Now, if the king was to come out and be like, you're not doing that. I support the Denovian Home Guard. Okay. What happens? The media, with all of those segments about all of those different incidents, they have the ability to talk about the incident and then play the soundbite of the king saying, hey, I support the Denovian Home Guard. And the American people hear about whatever the horrible thing was, and then the king saying they support it. Public opinion starts to shift. Manufacturing consent for a major foreign policy change. What would it be? Realistically, in the case of the Kingdom of Denovia, they don't want to sever the relationship. But it might be super helpful to have polling shift and have a whole bunch of people in favor of those senators that are saying to cut offensive military aid completely. Because then the Secretary of State can show up and be like, King, buddy, pal, believe in your cause, whatever it is. You know the routine. You need to look at this. You got to change course. People are very, very unhappy. We got to turn the temperature down. Maybe you don't go into Afar. Maybe you don't go into that city. You remember 6 months ago, your advisors were telling you to engage in a strategy of political realignment and shaping. Maybe you should try that and just let things blow over. Meanwhile, let's get the aid rolling. I don't know if it'll work, but that's the play for the Kingdom of Denovia. So that is the likely chain of events that State Department is counting on. Now, they would like the king of Denovia to just be like, okay, fine. I get it. We'll alter course. That doesn't seem very likely, though. So, if I had to look at all of the pieces, all of the actions, and try to determine intent, you have the major deviation from the status quo that signals something big. You have all of the other pieces at play suggesting that the United States wants to alter course there. Now, you may want to assign a motive, but you don't need to, because regardless of what the individuals involved may care about, it's really about power. So that process will probably start to play out, and hopefully it won't take long, and maybe the King of Denovia will alter course. Anyway, it's just a thought. Y'all have a good day.